Southern Vanguard Radio. This is DJ John Doe. And unfortunately, to the left of me, my man Meeks is not in the house tonight. He's in Memphis. He finally got out of the A for a little bit and went back home to see some family. So unfortunately Meeks couldn't make the night, but you know, we're still going to get this this interview cracking for this week. And we have a really exciting guest this week. Actually, we've been trying to get this scheduled for quite some time now. And about a month ago, we were about to make this happen. And I had about 2 feet of water, you know, flood my cellar at the last minute. And we had to reschedule. So without further ado, my man Sky Zoo is in the house tonight. What's up, Sky Zoo?
Yo, what's going on?
What's good, my man?
All right, good to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you. I know it's been a little tough. It's been a little tough getting this thing scheduled. So thanks for being patient and sitting down with us tonight.
No problem.
So you got a lot going on right now, man. I guess, you know, just kind of looking at it, you know, like super super recent. I guess you're coming off the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. How are things going? How are things kind of going post that show? I saw some of the Instagram and Twitter, you know, action and. Looked like there was a lot of dope shit going on.
Yeah, it was real dope. You know, it was a real dope day indeed. That was this past weekend. So, you know, it was a dope show, a couple thousand people like they do every year. And it was myself, Common, Mobb Deep, Freeway, Charles Hamilton, Astro. So it was dope, you know, and it's good to be a part of it. Being from Brooklyn, being one of the few Brooklyn guys on the actual Brooklyn show. It was dope. Real nice turnout as always. They always pack it out. Good day for hip hop on a hot Saturday afternoon, so you can't be mad.
Yeah, no doubt. So is this the first year you've done it, or have you done it before?
Well, I've done it in the past as a special guest coming on with somebody else's set or something like that. But being, you know, a soloist on the actual show, being a soloist to perform or whatever with my own full solo set, this was the first time for that. So, and the time it was actually really, really good too because of the album out now. So, you know, in the past, I may have had an album coming out or an album that came out 6-7 months prior, but with this one, the album's, you know, maybe 2-3 weeks out, so it's still fresh, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, I guess, over the past month since the new album came out, you've had a couple of pretty monumental shows. I mean, that show with the Blue Note looked ill, and then you got the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival, and
yeah, no, it's been good. It's been real good. Blue Note was amazing. So it's just been dope all around.
Yeah. So what was this? I saw something. Somewhere. You had to apologize to somebody because some speakers fell off the stage at the festival. What was that about? You were blaming ill mind or something for the beat or whatever.
Yeah. It was just joking around. But yeah, you know, in the middle of one of the songs, I think it was in the middle of Everything's for Sale, the speaker just fell off the stage. They had two speakers stacked on one another. So the top speaker fell off, you know, and hit this middle of the stage while I was rocking, like in the middle of the set.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, obviously we kept the show going and all that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was just something funny to be able to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry for the show being so crazy that we made the speaker fall.
Yeah, literally yeah, wrecking shit, right?
Exactly.
Dope.
Exactly.
So how are things going with the new album? I mean, we're probably, what, about a month in now, right? Music for My Friends.
About 3.5 weeks, so pretty much almost a month. It's been great, you know, it's been a great run, but just at the beginning of the run, so I'm not saying that in past tense, but, you know, it's been a great run thus far. The album is out now, and the response has just been through the roof. You know, the response has been really, really overwhelming, and I'm honored by it, I'm humbled by it, and it's good to know that, you know, you put the music together a certain way, and the way you want it to be received as far as people getting it is the way they get it. So I'm very happy about that.
So what, this is actually the first release on your label, right? Like independently, or did something change from a label standpoint with this release or no?
No. Yeah. Well, the difference was, this one was through my label, First Generation Rich,
okay,
which is, doing the distribution through Empire. And okay, if you know Empire, they're like the new Koch as far as indie labels are concerned, but even further along, you know, they've got everybody from Freddie Gibbs to Dipset to the Lox to, you know, they did Kendrick Section 80. They've got everybody, you know, I've heard they even just recently grabbed Jermaine Dupri and all the Social Def stuff. So they've literally got everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. They've got a lot.
Yo, are these the same folks that were doing the are these the same folks that were the first time I remember specifically seeing the Empire logo, and it maybe it was before this, but the image that's burned in my brain was on Moment of Truth, on Gangstar's Moment of Truth. Is that the same Empire, like those same guys?
No. This is they used to work at Ingrooves. The guy Ghazi used to work at Ingrooves, He branched out and started his own label, his own distributor rather, and Really, really good situation. So music for my friends is on that. You know, previously everything was Duck Down. You know, I was doing some work with Duck Down for a couple of years. I was with them for about 5 years, Doing a few different projects over there. My debut and my second album and EP work and different things like that. But with this, I was able to branch off and create my own thing. So, you know, I left Duck Down about 2 years ago, and I was able to create my own thing with FGR and Get my own distribution and just run it how I see fit. And, you know, Duck Down was a great tool, great way to learn how certain things move in the industry, and a great stepping stone. And now I'm able to, you know, put my own foot forward the way I want, walk my own miles and do those things.
Right. So are you trying to bring in other artists potentially? Is this kind of the setup for that or is
it? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I definitely want to bring in other artists. I have a few artists that I've worked with already. One by the name of Kay Cola, who's actually on Music for My Friends. She's on the album a couple times. So she's the first artist that we're going to put a lot of attention to. And from there, just branch out and bring in some other people. Whoever piques my interest and whoever grabs my ear, I say, okay, let's do something. Let's make something happen. Yeah. It's really just me being a fan.
What's up with West Side Gunn? You're going to maybe bring him into the fold and kind of give him a...
You know, Wes is like family at this point. We've been rocking for a while now. Okay. And, you know, we've been really... just building with the music, and Wes has his own company that he started as well. He has his own FGR per se. So He's doing that. But we're speaking about doing some things together, and you know, he always comes to me, you know, whether it's just knowing what's what, maybe a little advice here and there, just some intel, because I've been in it, you know, a little longer than he has. But He's an amazing artist. I'm super excited about what he's about to do and where his career is at and where it's about to go. I'm a fan, and I'm super excited about what he's cooking up and where he's about to push the button at next.
Yeah, we're really fans here too. I mean, I got a new joint to play tonight. I can't remember the name of it. It just came out, I think, a couple of days ago. But I mean, we've been playing a lot of his joints and like the Conway EP, and I mean, we're really fans of his here. So I really like seeing you guys collab on the album, and you know, looking forward to more from that guy for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, we mentioned the Blue Note, when, you know, talking about, you know, the album and the release party. What can you give us a little bit of a background behind that, and kind of, you know, what your experience was there, and you know, what it was like to perform with a six piece band or something, right?
Yeah, it was a straight jazz band, and the idea behind it, you know, I'm a jazz head, and people can tell whether it's from Instagram or from the music that I make and the way I put certain projects together, you know, that's a part of me. It's not all of me, but it's a nice part of me, and I wanted to do something that reflected that, and performing at the Blue Note, I knew that would be an honor. You know, I just said to myself, man, this would be the greatest thing if I could say I headlined a show at the Blue Note, but not just any show, but a jazz fueled and a jazz inspired show. Right. So with that, I just started putting the pieces together, and, you know, I randomly met one of the heads of the Blue Note venue, my man Alex, and we got together and started building. And from there, it just became a reality. You know, it went from a conversation, you know, backstage at an event, to, you know, 6 months later, a reality, and us putting this thing together. So super, super honored to be able to have done that. Definitely one of my favorite moments of all the things I've done throughout my career and, you know, various moments that I've been blessed to have. This is right at the top. This was really, really special to be able to do it and to pack it out, you know, to sell it out, pack it out, wall to wall, seat to seat, was really, really nice.
Yeah. So what was the process like to kind of get that together? Was the toughest thing? Was it like the rehearsal bit, like getting the band together, or was it just the general logistics of pulling the event off? Or was there something that kind of surprised you about putting it together that you didn't expect? Or
yeah, you know, I think the surprising part was that it was so easy. I think it really came off the behind the scenes stuff came off really flawless. You know, it was very easy to work with the people at Blue Note, which was amazing. You know, it was very, very easy to work with those people. So, you know, that surprised me, not because I thought they would be snobby or anything, but just because it's the Blue Note, it's legendary venue, legendary label. I'm a rapper. I'm not a jazz musician. It's not like they're booking Herbie Hancock or something. You know, I'm a rapper from Brooklyn, New York. So I didn't know how it was going to play out, but it played out perfectly. It was super, you know, helpful and overextended themselves with the way we put all this together and right on the money with everything. And it was just a wonderful time.
Yeah. Had you played with the band before, or was this a net new band that you put together? Or?
Yeah, no, well, this was a new band. I've played with bands before, but as far as this band, you know, that this was the first time working with them.
Gotcha. All right. So is there someone like, for something like that, do you have something like providing like direction as far as show flow? Like, did you do something different that you normally didn't do, like in a regular show, as far as, you know, outside input or, I don't know, kind of someone kind of consulting, like how to pull this off at the Blue Note? Or was this just totally kind of like your idea and you curated it from beginning to end?
No, it was me. It was me beginning to end, but there were, you know, moving parts. Everybody in the band had input. Everybody in the band, you know, I respect and appreciate and value their opinion because they're musicians as well. So knowing how certain records flow into one another, you know, I put the set list together as someone with somewhat of a musical mind, I like to think, and someone who knows how to flow records together as far as sonically. As far as the production, take the lyrics away, but just what makes sense sonically, one behind another, putting a set list together the way I would do an album, and then going over it with the band. And the band leaders were myself and the keyboard player, Henry. We kind of led the show as far as, okay, this will be this will be that. Okay. You know, I'm picking out the solo spots and when to cue certain parts, and he's doing his part. So it was good, you know?
Yeah. Was there anything, was there any one song that... That came off a lot better than you thought it would? Like, you never know, right? Like when you get
you don't know. And now I'm thinking about that. I think Everything for Sale came off pretty great. Everything came off great, but I think what stood out sonically as far as the band's reinterpretation of it, I think Everything for Sale, Women Who Can Cook, and what else? Suicide Doors came out really, really nice. That came off great.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, like I said, everything came off great. But as far as the band's interpretation of the music, those three might have stood out a little more. Gotcha. Sweet Pursuit as well, because they put a different swing on it, which was real cool.
Okay. All right. That's dope. That's got to be interesting to see, like, you know, something that doesn't start out like that and, you know, where someone takes it, you know, different interpretations or what just kind of happens on accident. I always love, you know, seeing how live interpretations of, you know, I guess sampled or, you know, kind of traditional hip hop production, you know, turns out live like that. So, I saw something else to kind of switch gears a little bit, but still keep it on the topic of the album. I saw something really interesting that you were doing too, the day the album launched, where you were, Were you hitting record stores where people were buying the album? Like what was the deal with that?
Yeah, I was popping up. I was just popping up on people. So, you know, we put a campaign together where, okay, if you buy the album, whether it's physical or digital, hit me on Twitter or Instagram using a certain hashtag. And then when I see it, I'll hit you back. You tell me where you are. As long as you're in New York, I'll come meet up with you. We could take a flick. We can kick it. You can show me the receipt, or you can show me your phone where you purchased it, and we can build and put all that together. So it was dope. And then on top of that, I just straight up went to stores. So I knew which Best Buys in the city would have them. So, you know, we went to, I think, maybe three or four different Best Buys in Manhattan that day, ran through and, you know, hit this one and ran into a couple fans there, hit that one, ran into a couple. We literally were running into stores. And fans were coming in to buy the album, not knowing we were going to be there. So that was real
dope.
Cool.
That's dope. Had you done that before, or was this something kind of new you done? Or
no, this was new. I hadn't done anything like this before. This was new. I've got some digital guys that I'm working with that are doing a real good job. These dudes, Andrew and Jonathan, who do a lot of digital stuff for corporate America, and now they're stepping into hip hop as far as being fans in the industry and things like that. And they're fans of myself, so they reached out and wanted to do some work. So they put the plan together, and we executed it, and it was dope. It was real dope. It's a good way to engage with the people and the fans, and you know, being able to be at Best Buy's and fans are coming in not knowing you're going to be there, and they're standing online with the CD and they see you coming up the escalator. Yeah, that was real cool.
Yeah, you didn't have anybody like break down or start crying or shaking or get on some Beatles shit with you, did you?
No, they were cool.
That's cool, man. I thought that was really cool. And the day the album dropped, I can't remember where I picked it up, but I thought that was real dope, man. That was a really kind of cool idea, man. I bet as a fan, you know, that they were probably really geeking out to see you just roll up like that. That's crazy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was cool. It was a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So what's next from an album perspective? You got a new video dropping, or kind of what's the next step in the campaign?
Right. Well, the luxury video is out now, and that's on MTV Jams and MTVU and MTV2 every day, which is cool. Yeah. So, that's out now, and we're working on a couple others, working on Civilized Leisure. Hopefully Money Makes Us Happy. Hopefully See the Key. So working on a lot of different videos to keep the visuals rolling and everything.
Okay. Gotcha. There's vinyl out now or no? I can't remember if that's all vinyl.
Well, the vinyl's coming. The vinyl's coming in early August. You know, everything nowadays with the industry and with labels, vinyl takes a lot longer now. You know, the plants are shutting down. So, you know, you may have had 100 plants. Now it's 20. Yeah, so they're getting overloaded with work, you know. So it's a backlog. It's a backlog order thing and, you know, all of that type of stuff. But, you know, so with that being said, the vinyl's coming out in August. Okay. We're looking at hopefully early August. And it's a limited edition green vinyl. And it also has the LZI record that everyone was asking about. Hands Folded Together is on it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That record wasn't on the album. What was the
right?
What was the approach or thinking with that? Was that just kind of a what was the deal with that?
Well, I wanted to make some bonus content for the people who bought the vinyl and the cassette, and then on top of that, I felt like the record came off as a vinyl record. It felt like a record that you was to hear when you went to the record store and bought two copies of the same album on vinyl and would cut it up and whatever. Yeah. It had that feel to it as far as the beat, as far as the lyrics with myself and LZI. It just felt like a vinyl record. You know, it didn't feel like something that flowed within the story I was telling on the album, but it was a fantastic record nonetheless. It's just a spitter, you know, is what I call it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just where you're just going for it. Where the rest of the album, it all tells a story. Even the other spitters on the album, like Suicide Doors and all that, even though that's a straight spitter, but it has a story with it within the hook and the stuff I'm talking about and how it follows up with everything else. But Hands Folded Together, just a straight spitter. So I said, you know what? I want this record to come out. I want people to get it and appreciate it. So let me figure out a way to do this. And, you know, L did the record and he did a great job. He killed it. So I was like, you know what? Let's make this happen this way. And, you know, I put it on the vinyl and the cassette versions. But when I leaked it on SoundCloud, just because we live in a digital era and I want everybody to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
When I leaked it, I said, this is coming out on vinyl and the cassette. This is a bonus. And then when the album comes out on CD and iTunes, everybody's like, where's the LZI record? Yeah. Like that, y'all don't read? Every blog post said that it was a bonus to be expected on vinyl and cassette, and you could stream it now on SoundCloud. But, you know.
Right. So that's the is that the only bonus cut on the vinyl vinyl?
Yeah,
that's
the one bonus. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah, it kind of seems like everybody's having to stagger the releases with vinyl now these days. It's
because there's no plants.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. Yeah,
and it's like if you got 10 chefs and then you got one chef is trying to cook for a whole school. You know, it gets tough. You know.
Yeah, it's really interesting because as we kind of you know, we do these interviews every week and, you know, this issue still keeps popping up and, you know, you kind of started seeing, you know, people complaining around Record Store Day and how this is the first year I saw it. It's been kind of an interesting phenomenon with Record Store Day where people are actually complaining about it because it's jamming up the plants. I mean, I don't know if that's actually true or not, but like, they're complaining that all the major labels that are doing, you know, these releases for Record Store Day now are jamming it up for everyone else. It's really interesting and unfortunate, actually. So
it is. It's like a catch 22. You close all the plants because you think that there's no market. But then on Record Store Day, it's through the roof, which shows you there's a market. You know, it's a catch 22 indeed.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm glad to hear the vinyl's dropping. That's going to be soon. You said that's August. Is that right?
Yeah, that's early August. Okay. And like I said, it's a limited edition green vinyl to match with the cover, which is cool. I think the first 100 or two are going to be green. And then it also has the LZI bonus, which is cool. So I'm looking forward to having the actual vinyl. Just on the strength of the cover art alone, I'm looking forward to having the actual vinyl.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's dope. What's a joint off the album that was kind of a sleeper or a surprise for you when it dropped? Is there anyone that's been
as
like
far
a fan
as the people's reaction?
Yeah, like a fan favorite or something that radio picked up or the blogs picked up or, you know, something that wasn't obvious. You have one of those that it's kind of your favorite?
Guess, you know, yeah, I think for me, you know, as when you make an album, all the songs are like your kids. So it's like, how do you pick a favorite kid? You know, it's the same idea. So with this record, you know, it's 15 records and I love all of them, you know, dearly. But I think as far as the surprise factor of people really being into certain records and me thinking, wow, I didn't know you guys would pick that one. I think Things I Should Have Told My Friends was one of them. People really gravitate. I mean, I've been blessed to be able to say people gravitate towards the whole album, but you know, I think with that one, Things I Should Have Told My Friends was big as far as the responses on Twitter and things like that.
Okay.
Women Who Could Cook, everybody across the board was just gone. They were like,
yeah.
And it was just a cool, it worked in the grand scheme of what the story was about, but again, it was just a real cool, fly, fun record. You know, making it made me feel like Jay-Z, Girls, Girls, Girls. You know, it felt like that type of record.
Right.
Everybody, you know, as far as the beat and the way it came across and the swag of it, this felt like a fun, fly, swag record that had a real story to it. Yeah. All we want is some women who can cook. So with that, the reaction to that has been through the roof. So that one, I guess that's it, because everything else, the people loving all the other records. I mean, I'm happy to be able to say I kind of knew what to expect to some degree, just because I know the stories that I'm telling and where we are as a culture and as a generation. And I think these stories are stories that people can relate to. So I kind of knew what to expect, I guess, just not to a certain extent, because it's really been overwhelming. It's really, really, really been overwhelming, which is a great thing to be able to say.
Yeah, you know what I really liked about the album, and even just to go back to the first joint that you put out, which was Suicide Doors, I really appreciated, and how do I say this? I don't want to say it to sound like it's not a negative, but like I just thought it was real dope. You didn't, you know, you put like a somewhat of a new guy on, like from a production standpoint. So like, you know, Mark Infinite for Suicide Doors, like I just thought that I thought that was real dope that, you know, anytime someone does that, I just really appreciate that. And what I appreciate even more actually is, you know, when Meeks and I talk about it all the time, we talk about it on the show, we just feel like the DMV in general, like their producers and, you know, MCs, artists just across the board, I just kind of feel like they don't, I mean, I feel like they get their due, but they don't get the due that they should be getting, man. I mean, those, I don't know what's in the water down there, man, but those guys are across the board are just insane.
Right. Absolutely. It's tons of talent out there, like really, really, really overflowing with talent out there for sure. And with me, you know, like you said, putting a new guy on like Mark Infinite as the first leak that anybody hears, to me, I'm not big on who the producer is as far as the name. It's great to have names because you're selling a project. You're looking for media pickups and things of that nature. And, you know, fans being able to be familiar with certain names. So if I'm able to say Illmind is on the album a bunch of times, Jahlil Beats, you know, Apollo Brown,
sure,
Thelonious Martin. I'm able to say these names that fans know. But then there's, you know, up and comers. There's, you know, Ant-Man Wonder, who's done a ton in his own regard for sure. But there's Ant-Man Wonder. There's Mark Infinite. You know, there's The Revolt, who did Money Makes Us Happy. You know, there's all these different, you know, up and coming producers. And for me, it's really just about the sound. You know, yeah. You could have made five beats on it. If yeah, they sure. sound like what I need, then I need them. You know, it comes down to with me. It's about the sound, what it sounds like, how it makes sense, and what we can do moving forward. That's it.
Yeah. You've always approached every album like that, or
yeah, yeah,
okay. yeah, yeah.
Always. There's just the thing about it. I've always been, I guess, fortunate enough to be around certain producers. So my debut album, I had Just Blaze, I had Needles, I had Ninth yeah. Wonder. You know, I had Knots. But then I also had up and comers like Cyrus the Great and Eric G. You know, so
yeah,
I mixed it up from jump. You know, but I've always had a rapport of getting with, you know, big name producers, well named producers, but then mixing in the other guys as well.
Yeah, I love seeing that, man. I really appreciate it, actually, that, you know, that I had not heard of Mark before. I don't know why, but and actually my man Superstition, he had an album come out about a month ago, and he had a joint on there from a dude. You probably know him. You know Praise, right? Didn't he do a joint on yep. the Barrel Brothers?
He did one on Barrel Brothers. Yeah. He did one on Theo versus JJ, and then he also did the iTunes bonus on Music for My Friends. The iTunes bonus is a record called Falling Out the Sky, and he did that as well. And it's the iTunes only bonus. We did two bonus records, one on iTunes and then one on the vinyl.
Okay.
And the iTunes bonus is Falling Out the Sky. He did that. And we actually just got it picked up for some licensing opportunities last week. So,
oh, did you really? Oh, congrats. Yeah, man. That's
yeah.
dope.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I can't get into who picked it up, but come this fall, you know, it'll be everywhere. You'll be able to say, oh, yeah, the Sky Zoo Praise record was on such and such. You know, you'll be able to have that conversation. But, he's very excited about that. He's super excited about that, as am I. You know?
Yeah, that guy's a monster too, man. That guy's a monster. I love him.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's dope. How'd you meet him? You remember?
Twitter, I want to say.
Okay. All right.
I think it was Twitter. I think he reached out on Twitter and was like, yo, how do I send beats? And I hit him back. Here you go. And he hit me. And I said, man, these is it. I need them. You know, and like yeah. I said, we go from there. You know, I'm very big on that. You know, I'm very big on hit me up and let's build. If I like it, I like it. I don't care who the name is. I don't care where you're from, overseas, old, young, whatever. Like, let's just work.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Supa said the same thing. Like he's getting ready to wrap up a 60-date tour right now, and he was trying to get an EP together for the tour, and he picked so many joints from Praise, it just ended up turning into an album. Like he could not, you know, do joints to him. So that, you know, I love hearing that shit. I love, like, you know, seeing the new guys drop, and you know, that's dope, man. I really respect that. Actually, just, you know, putting on new guys like that. I love seeing that shit.
Word up.
So what's next for you? You gonna be on the road? You doing tours, shows to support the album, or kind of one-offs, or what?
We're putting together some stuff now. A lot of it is a spot date one-offs that we're stringing together like a tour, and that's coming up probably August. We're putting all that stuff together, and then overseas in the fall. You know, I always go overseas every year. I always do Europe, Australia, and Africa. So working on that stuff for the fall. October, November, December. But then before all that, you know, it'll be some U.S. stuff that we're working on.
Gotcha. Okay. What's next for you after this? Like, you know, kind of looking out, you got another Barrel Brothers album coming out? Are you going to focus on your artist on the label, or what's kind of next?
A little bit of everything. Barrel Brothers album, I'm not sure. We haven't spoken about anything like that because the idea for Barrel Brothers was really just for the fans, and it was really just one joint, you know, one project we said we would do for the people. The response was amazing, but you know, we really was like, okay, it'll just be this one project. We hit them hard, boom. And Tor's actually working on some solo stuff now, so not sure when his is coming out. I think it's before the year ends that he'll be releasing his solo album. So, you know, he's got to work that and do what he has to do with that as well. And you know, so in the meantime, I'm just gonna push this heavy. You know, I'll be pushing this hard. Yeah. I want the legs to live on this for a long time. You know, I'm not looking to do another full-length solo album next year or anything like that.
Okay.
There'll definitely be some type of music, you know, be whether it's a remix project, a freestyle project, a mixtape, an EP with somebody, who knows, but there'll be something, because I try to give the people something every year. You know, every calendar year, I try to come with some type of body of work for the people to enjoy if it's not a full length album, you know, so it'll be something going on.
Okay. Gotcha. Hey, real quick, just to switch gears. And I didn't realize this. So as I was doing research, for the interview tonight, I can't remember where I saw this, but I saw something. I think it was maybe on Instagram, but I saw something about how you said you spent summers down south in South Carolina. I didn't realize. I mean, I knew you had a kind of connection to North Carolina with, you know, Hall of Justice and all those dudes, but you spent a lot of time down south, you know, growing up, or?
Yeah, every summer.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
every summer.
I'm always interested to hear about, you know, that connection. I mean, we're based in Atlanta, and you know, I actually lived in coastal Georgia for a little while. I lived in Savannah for about a year. So, you know, the low country and all the low country boils and like that, you know, that whole world is like, you know, completely different. Like a lot of people don't know about what exists on, you know, the southern coast of like the Carolinas and.
Yeah,
and Georgia and whatnot. So,
yeah, it's cool. Yeah, my whole family is from down there. You know, I'm born and raised Brooklyn, New York. You know, I've never not lived in the state of New York ever. I've never not lived here. But every summer I would go to South Carolina and spend the whole summer.
Okay.
And, you know, my grandparents are down there, and aunts and uncles and cousins, family reunions, all that type of stuff.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, every summer I go to South Carolina and, that's how I came up, you know, so I would get a little bit of that life as well, running around in the yard, shooting rattlesnakes and catching frogs and doing all that stuff. And I was the city boy down in the country, you know, so I was a city boy, used to playing basketball on concrete at the park and going to the corner store where they, you know, playing, they got a goal. They don't call it a court. They call it a goal. You know, they say, oh, you got a goal in your backyard. Oh, yeah, we're going to go to his house. He got a new goal. I'm like, what's the goal? You know, like, looking for a rim, you know, and then you learn it's the same thing. So, you know, being able to lower the goal per se and dunk on it, learning how to dribble on dirt, you know, on dirt and grass and going up and down dirt roads with your bike and four wheelers and, you know, getting driven to the corner store, which was the gas station, and, you know, riding your bike as opposed to walking up the block. So I saw both sides because I would spend 2 months every year down there in the summer.
What was that? Was that from like as far back as you can remember, or was that?
That was from like 5 years old to about 15.
Okay, so at what point did you realize that? Did you always realize that it was drastically different, or did you have like an
right away?
Okay, all right, okay.
Right away,
I guess at 5.
I think because New York is so fast. You know, maybe if I lived in another city that was still a major city but wasn't New York, I may have noticed it a little slower. It may have taken a little while to come full circle. But being that New York is the fastest city in the world, I was able to tell right away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, man. That's real dope. I didn't realize that you were, you had ties to South Carolina like that. So when I saw that, I just wanted to make sure and ask you about that. I thought that was really interesting. So is that how you hooked up with the folks up in North Carolina, like, you know, Little Brother and Hall of Justice and all guys, or no?
The way that happened was, through Sean Don, who was one of the original members of Justice League when they were still rocking and everything.
Yeah.
I met Sean Don up here in New York. Because Sean Don, even though he's been down there forever, he's from New York originally. So he was in New York for his birthday. And I met him up here during his birthday trip. And we got cool and built a rapport and everything like that. Okay. He took some music down to North Carolina, played it for all those guys. And then they were like, yeah, definitely. We want to do some music with you. Why don't you come down, spend some time down here and let's work. So I said, all right, I booked a trip and went down there, and we did a bunch of records in 7 days, and nothing ever happened with those records, but we wound up building a relationship and working from there. And then records started coming out, putting stuff out and building and things like that.
Yeah, I think the first time I at least the first record that kind of like hit me upside the head of yours, man, was what was the appearance on what was it? Speed Racing, right?
Oh, was that? You know, that record is one of those records that was done on that trip.
Oh, was it really?
That first trip, that was one of them.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, because that record never officially came out, right? Like, what? It came out like on a mixtape or something, or what was
it? Yeah, it came out on the DJ Drama Little Brother tape.
Right.
that okay. was separate but equal. And then they released the project on iTunes without drama, like without the DJ talking and the cuts and all that. So the project is available on iTunes. The song is available on iTunes if anybody wanted it, but it came out on the DJ Drama tape originally.
Sure, I tell you what, man, if you could burn a hole in a CD, I would have burned a hole in that one. I think it was actually the drama. That motherfucker right there, man. I was actually, I've never understood the placement of that song in that mixtape. Like, cause to me,
it was at the end, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, it's great actually. And actually, you know, I'm probably going to be, you know, burned at the stake for saying this, but that is actually my favorite Little Brother release. Like, hands down, like across the board.
Oh, that song?
No. The mixtape, actually.
Oh, the drama tape. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The drama tape is my favorite, like, Little Brother body of work, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's right. My favorite. And I always thought, when I heard that joint, I thought, why did they not put this, like, closer to the beginning of the CD, but at the same time, it's the very last joint, right?
Yeah, and it's funny the way they would always organize all of their songs. Tay did a lot of the sequencing for their projects. Tay kind of was
right.
the head on Voltron, per se. You know, Fonte would sequence where all the songs went, and he would always, every project they did, they would have an outro, and then they would have a full song after the outro.
Yes, that's right.
And I don't know why he would do that, but that was his own little thing. Every Little Brother project, they would do that, whether it's a mixtape, album, whatever. You would have all these songs, you'd have the outro, and then you'd have a full song right after the outro. And it wouldn't be a tucked away bonus song. It would just be the song after the outro, which was a little different, but he always did that. So even on the major label release, you know, even when they did the Menstrual Show. Yeah. So that was a part of that. You know, it was the very last song on the tape after the outro. But it was cool.
Yeah. You know, it was funny, man. Like, when I was like, oh my God, like, people are going to, like, skip over this. Right. Like, just because it's at the end, but at the same point, man, like, man, it's such a great way to cap it off. I mean, that's the thing, is like, now, like, at the first I was kind of frustrated that it was at the beginning, but now I love it. Like, I can actually, like, look forward to the end of the album, and it's such an exclamation point on that project, man. It's crazy. So that's interesting. That was done on that, that trip. So was that one of the only ones that actually made it out? You said that.
That one, and there's a record called Let It Bang with myself and E-Ness. These are all old stories, man. You got me going back.
Okay, all right.
There's a record with myself and E-Ness that was part of that trip as well. And the records didn't come out just because I never put them out. It wasn't because they didn't want them to come out or anything like that. They were all great records. You know, I wound up doing... I did 15 records. I did a bunch with Crisis, a bunch with Ninth, and a bunch with Fatin, who was another producer down there with them.
Yeah,
so they did all the records for that. And yeah, it was just, we just was working. There was no goal. There was no project. There was no, we're going to make an album. There was none of that. It was just, you know, let's just go in the studio. And every day for about 7 days, we went in the studio. I picked beats. I'd sit there and write and record and write and record. We would go get cookout and come back and write and record and go to sleep, and, you know, like, was it. And it wound up being 15 records in about 6-7 days.
I mean, you still got those laying around somewhere, man? Might be.
I do. I definitely do. That was 2005, so that's literally 10 years ago.
Yeah. Might be time for a rarities and remixes release or I don't know, something.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Maybe.
You know, so... Yeah, I love that joint. You just filled in a big piece of the puzzle in my brain for that song on that Gangsta Grillz Little Brother joint. Now, that's dope.
So, yeah, absolutely.
That's dope. All right, cool, man. Well, look, man, I think we, you know, let's go ahead and wrap this up. I appreciate, you know, you hanging out tonight. I'm disappointed Meeks couldn't be here because he always brings some comedy and some flavor to it, but maybe next time, maybe the next release, or put out one of those joints, get Kekola, or, you know, one of your artists back on the show sometime. We'd love to have y'all. So
absolutely.
Cool. So can you tell the people where to go to find out everything? Twitter, Instagram, websites, all that good stuff. All right.
Definitely. Twitter is at Skyzoo. That's SKYZOO. Instagram is at Skyzoo the writer. and website is skyzoothewriter.com. And the album Music for My Friends is available in stores right now, online, everywhere that you get music. So whether it's Best Buy, Target, whether it's mom and pop record stores or iTunes, Tidal, Google Play, Apple Music app, Beats app, whatever, everywhere that you can buy albums. The album is out right now. Music for My Friends features Jadakiss, Black Thought, Bilal, Kristen Gray, K. Cola, West Side Gun, production from Apollo Brown, Ill Minds, Lil Beats, Thelonious Martin. You know, the list goes on and on, and it's a really, really wonderful project. I'm extremely proud of it. It's my best work yet. It's easily my best work yet, my finest work to date, and I'm super excited about the people who have it, who heard it, who listen to it every day, and all of the people who haven't gotten it yet, and they're about to go get it. And hopefully they're going to go get it when they finish hearing this. And I'm excited for all of them as well, because I think it's just dope hip hop that, you know, you can find yourself in and see yourself within. And when that's the case, that's when it all makes sense.
Absolutely. Dope, man. Skyzoo, thank you, brother, again. Really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. All right, cool. Southern Vanguard Radio. This is DJ John Doe and an absent Eddie Meeks. Stay tuned, y'all. Southernvanguard.com. Peace.